This morning, the choir would like to minister to y'all. And this song is coming from Psalms chapter 3, verses 1 to the begin, to the end, rather. And in this scripture, David was talking about how the Lord is a shield for him.
Amen.
And that same God that was a shield for David is a shield for us. Amen.
Amen.
What is it that you are going through right now? It's an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. So just be encouraged. And we pray that the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name as he be your shield. Amen.
Lord, are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many they be which say of my soul.
Thank you for lifting.
You lift me up.
Praise the Lord. It's not working. Thank you. The Lord is my glory. The Lord is the lifter up of my head. Praise the Lord. We bless God for the choir. It's getting better and better. Somebody say it's getting better and better. So will it be for you as well. In the name of Jesus. Couple of announcements real quick. Before we get into the word, the Balogun's, Mr. and Mrs. Balogun had a bouncing baby girl last week, Monday. I'm sure many of us know this by now, but the implication of that is we're having another naming ceremony tomorrow. We had one on Tuesday, and we're going to be having another one tomorrow. It's a sign of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is a good thing. When we have children, it means God is moving amongst his people. Praise the Lord. So I want us to make time to come tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Usually by 8:30, we're done. It's 1 to 1.5 hours maximum, and we're done with the naming ceremony. And somebody might ask, what's that all about? I gave my baby name at the hospital. Why do you need a ceremony to do that? Well, the Bible tells us that they brought Jesus. And the same thing with John to the temple to be named after the... Oh, I didn't know he's here. Mr. Balogun is here. Praise the Lord. So they brought Jesus on the 8th day to be named and to be circumcised. And the same thing with John. And that's why we follow that tradition in this house. So I want us to all come tomorrow to show love and fellowship with the Balogun's and rejoice with them. The Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice. So tomorrow we are rejoicing, especially with the Balogun's. And also, this past month was, where's Mrs. Irewoli? Okay, she's with the children. This past month was her birthday. And she said, you know what, Pastor? I really want to honor the Lord with my birthday. I don't just want to have a party and just celebrate. Said, I want to have an event. It will include eating, but more importantly, it will be a missions event. And that event will be held here in church on August the 17th. August the 17th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. August 17th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. right here in the children's area. I've mentioned to us before CAPRO. CAPRO is a missions organization. And they will be making presentations. We brought them here before to do a training on missions for us. And that's what she's decided to do for her birthday, which I believe is a worthy thing to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Well, you're going to help me today because for some reason, my eyeglasses is in transit somewhere. So I'm seeing... But he is looking like B. but the Lord will help us. Amen. Maybe this is my opportunity to receive my miracle. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's bow our hearts to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. We glorify your name, O God. We thank you, O God, for how far you have helped us in this service. Thank you because today is the first Sunday of the month of August. And Lord, especially we want to thank you for the past months. Thank you for January. Thank you for February. March, April, May, June, July, now August. Daddy, we are grateful. We are grateful because, Lord, we know that if not for God, where would we be now? The enemy will have swallowed us up alive. But Lord, you have kept us. Lord, when the enemy laid the snare for us, the snare of the fowler, Lord, you caused us to escape. And Lord, we are grateful. Lord, we are thankful. Lord, we know the enemy is not resting. But Lord, you are alive and well for our defense. And for this, we are grateful. Lord, as we look into your word of life this morning, Father, I pray that you will speak to every heart in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your word have a meaning in the hearts of your people. Let there be a connection. Let your word find a fertile ground in every heart. And Lord, may I not speak of myself. May I declare the word as you have ordained it and decreed it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' precious name I have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So today we are continuing with our sermon series on the parables of the kingdom of heaven. And we started last week talking about the power of the seed. Today we will continue with the third parable, which is found in Matthew chapter 13, 31 and 32. Matthew chapter 13, 31 and 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Verse 32. Which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest seed, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So today we continue with the parable with this parable, and we're going to connect this with where we left off the last time. Last week I started by saying that you may be able to count the number of seeds in a fruit, but you can never count the number of fruits in a seed. Praise the Lord. We had the illustration with an apple last week. You know, you can count when you cut a fruit. You can count. You might be able to count the number of seeds in that fruit, but you cannot count the number of seeds or fruits in that seed. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So, as we talk about the seed, the one thing that is very important for you and I to understand is that a seed has a great potential. The first parable that we looked at, the parable of the sower, the Bible says the seed was the word of God, and the field was the different kinds of hearts of men. But the second parable of the wheat and the tares, it tells us that the good seed are the believers. And it tells us further that the sower of the seed is Jesus himself. And we looked at the sower last week. We talked about the four D's that we can learn from the sower. And then it tells us that the tares that grew in that field were sown by the devil. And it says the tares are the children of darkness. But I thank God that you are not a child of darkness. Okay, since your amen is weak, I thank God that I am not a child of darkness. I was trying to be polite, you know, to put it forward to you first before I begin to take it for myself. You know, so we saw these things. And in this third parable, it's telling us about a seed, a tiny seed, a very small seed that was planted. Can you show the slide of the seed, please? Okay, this you might not be able to. You see those tiny seeds? When that seed is planted, that great tree comes from that little seed. And the Bible is telling us that the seed are the children of the kingdom. So even though I may look little, even though my beginning may look little, even though everything may look rough and unsteady and shaky and almost not working out right now, but that little seed has the great potential to become a great and a mighty tree. And I have come to inform somebody this morning that God has just started with you. God has just only begun with you. And by the time he is done, you yourself, you will find it difficult to believe what God has done. The parable of the mustard seed is very short but loaded. The seed, though small, but has great potential for growth and increase. And this is speaking directly to you and I. Before we continue this morning, I just want to digress very quickly and then I'll bring us back. Have you ever thought of why God created the world? Have you ever thought, why did he create the world? You must understand this. Before God created the world, he was God. Praise the Lord. Everything that God is today, he was before he created the world. God did not create the world out of a need. Praise the Lord. We know one of the reasons we are created is so that we can pleasure God. We can give him pleasure. It was not because God was in need of pleasure that he created the world. In answering that question, I will say two things. Why did God create the world? Number one, it is important that we understand that God is Jehovah. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." The name Jehovah simply means the self-existent one. Amen. The one that every need is met within him for himself by himself. He does not need anything or anyone for him to be satisfied with anything. His name is Jehovah, the self-existent one, the one that has everything. The number two thing I want you to know in answering the question, why did God create the world? Is God is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24 tells us that. It says, God is a spirit and he desires those that will worship him to worship him in spirit and in truth. How many spirits did you see this morning? As you were just, you know, coming to church, you met this spirit and that spirit. Spirits are not visible. So God is saying something to us here. So when you look at the foregoing, it is obvious that God did not create the world and everything in it because he needed something, or because he created it because it was his desire to create the world. And God simply created the world as an extension of his own divine rule. And when he created the world, he created you and I, he created man uniquely different from everything else he had created. Because in his creation, he spoke things to be, and he did all kinds of things. But when it came to man, the Bible says, not only did he create, he formed and he created man. And put his breath into him, and the Bible says he made man in his own image and in his own likeness. When something is in the image and in the likeness of something, it has the full potential of the image and the likeness of what it is. So this seed called man was what God planted in the world. He planted you and I as seeds in the world so that we can rule as an extension of his rule on earth. And that is why it says, God blessed them. He said, have dominion. Rule, take charge. Be in control. He said, do business, occupy till I return. God created us for us to rule and to reign over his creation. He sowed you and I as a seed to dominate. If you are being dominated, have you noticed when someone tries to dominate you, you resist it? You resist it very vigorously. You know why? Because you were not created to be dominated. You were created to dominate. You were created to rule and to have dominion. That is why you cannot, it's hard for you. When somebody wants to exert dominion over, I say, no, I'm a dominator. I'm not the dominated. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says, let us make man in our own image after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Listen to me. We have the DNA of God. Did somebody hear that? If God has a DNA, that's your DNA. And praise the Lord, because we came from God. We came from God. I have the DNA of God. Everyone that has the DNA, that is one of the things they do in animal breeding. In animal breeding, you select animals that have feet and strong and resistant to diseases, and then you make sure those are the ones that you perpetuate. And the ones that didn't thrive too well, you just kill them for meat. Praise the Lord. So you and I, we have the DNA of God. We have the potential to do the great things that the scripture has said we will do. And that we will do in the mighty name of Jesus. You and I, we have the DNA of God. And Jesus came to the world to demonstrate this for us. The Bible tells us that Jesus was fully man when he was here on earth. Thank you, sir. He was fully man and fully God. Thank you. Fully man and fully God. And he demonstrated to us that certain things are possible to be done. You will remember the story of Peter, when Peter and the other guys, the other disciples were in the boat. The Bible says there was a storm at sea. And they saw an image, and they thought the image was that of a ghost. And they were all afraid. And then they realized it was Jesus. And Peter said, Jesus, if that is you walking on water, bid me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. And guess what? He began to walk on water. What is that telling us? God is showing you and I that you are capable of doing things that you have imagined impossible. I pray that from today, you will no longer be held back. In the mighty name of Jesus. John chapter 5 verse 20. John 5 and verse 20. Jesus says, greater things than I have done, you will do. You know, so sometimes when you think and you say, oh, that was Jesus. I cannot do that. Jesus, before he left, he said, Kashina, greater things than this, you will do. At the Sunday school this morning, Dr. Bode was telling us, did the Bible say if the pastors or the bishop or something? He said, no, to everyone that believes, it is possible. The requirement is easy and almost cheap. Only believe. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I don't know where you are in the journey of life today, but I want to assure you today that there is more beyond where you are. God is willing, able, and ready to take you well beyond where you are today, and that he will do in Jesus' name. And I want to make a bold statement this afternoon that the seed of God in you is an indestructible sin. Seed. Not sin, seed. The seed of God in you is an indestructible seed. It may have laid dormant for so long that you have gotten used to not being the champion that you really are. Praise the Lord. Some people have become familiar with defeat so much that they just feel defeated. Nothing can work for them. But I'm here to tell you today that in Christ Jesus, you are an overcomer. In Christ Jesus, you are a champion. In the name of Jesus, Jesus already won the victory for you. All we need to do is enter into it and claim what is already ours. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. That is why I know that as the Lord lives, you will fulfill destiny. I will fulfill destiny in the name of Jesus. I told you it's the story of the seed last week, and there's another story I would like to share with you. I showed the slide you showed first the last time. The title of this is the Mommy Pit Seed. So some years ago, a vase hermetically sealed, hermetically just means airtight, it was sealed airtight, sealed was found in a mummy pit in Egypt by the English traveler Wilkinson, who sent it to the British Museum. The librarian there, having unfortunately broken it, discovered in it a few grains of wheat and one or two pears, old, wrinkled, and hard as a stone. This is talking about the seed. Next slide, please. The peas were planted carefully under glass on the 4th of June, 1844. And at the end of 30 days, these old seeds were seen to spring up into new life. They had been buried probably about 3,000 years ago, perhaps in the time of Moses, and had slept all that long, apparently dead, yet still living in the dust of the tomb. And I want to declare to somebody here today, even though that seed may have laid dormant, seemingly dead, I speak the word of God to you today, and I activate the seed of God inside of you, in the mighty name of Jesus. If a seed that had been buried, hidden for 3,000 years can sprout again, you will sprout again. I say you will sprout again. You will sprout again in the name of Jesus. Those ideas, those dreams that you think are forgotten and gone, that you think can never be a reality again, I speak the word of the Lord unto you today, that that dream will be realized. That vision will be realized. The Lord will establish his word concerning you in the mighty name of Jesus. I've told us many times, you know, when you are young, you dream big. You see children, they tell you, say, when I grow up, I'm going to be an astronaut. I'll go to the moon. You see, when you see a child, say, what do you want to do when you're grown? They tell you unimaginable things. And if you are not careful, instead of being an encourager, you are a discourager in the life of that kid. You tell them, no, you can't do that. Look at you. You see people like, no, go do this other thing. But as we grow up, as we begin to experience trouble in life and difficulties in life, we begin to limit ourselves. God bless the choir. All those songs they sang today, do we record praise and worship? Technical? We do. We do. Please, I need a copy of today's praise and worship. They were talking about freedom. The shackles are broken. The chains are broken. I am free. I will sing it a little louder. I will shout it a little louder. I will declare it a little louder. I will jump higher. Because why? I am free. Freedom. Freedom. The Lord will break every limitation upon your life today. The Lord will destroy every limiting factor upon your life today. And it will release you into your full potential. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can you imagine seeds that have been in an airtight vase 3,000 years or more, accidentally broken, not even intentionally broken, accidentally broken, and they said, let us try and see what happens to this seed. In the right conditions of the environment, the seed began to sprout. The seed began to grow. I decree in the name of Jesus, as the word of the Lord is coming to you right now, because the Bible says that as waters, as the rain fall from heaven and does not depart back to heaven the same way it came, he said, so is the word of the Lord. He said, the word that has been spoken forth, he will not return until it has fulfilled the purpose for which it has been released. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Friends, you are not defeated. You are not a failure. I want you to reject it. I say, I reject this life of failure. It is not my portion. I cannot be a child of God and be limited by situation. I cannot be a child of God and be under circumstances. I am over and above every circumstance of life. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Friends, I am convinced of the plan and purpose of God for your life. A great God cannot have small plans for you. A great God cannot have little plans for his children. Let me ask you this. If you had $1 billion today, how would you plan for your children's education? The same way you're planning now? Probably not. Say, no. I want my children to go to public school because they will eat all. All of those stories we tell is because of where we are right now. So, the public school, you know, they will do this. It's a lie. A pure lie, plain lie. You had $1 billion today. Trust me, your children will not be in public school. A great God cannot have small plans for his children. It is not possible. The plans you make right now for your children are based on where you are. Based on where you are. Say, we're going to New York. I'm kidding myself right now. I said, before I really get old, I want to go on a road trip with my family. So we're going to drive to Atlanta. If I had $1 billion, we'd be flying in my private jet. There is no way which road trip. It's because of where we are. Road trip. I make it sound good. So we're going to have a lot of fun. It'll be time with the family. This is the stories I've been telling. You know, it'll be time alone with the family, and we're just going to be together, and we're going to drive 16 long hours. But it's a road trip. You know what I'm saying? So when we get to Mississippi, we'll rest. Are we there yet? Praise the Lord. A great God cannot have little plans for his children. The seed of God in you is a great seed. I want you to know that. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, you know it already. But I'm going to read it from the Good News Bible. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Our scripture for the month of August is taken from Job 23 and verse 14. And this is the word of the Lord for the church. I'm going to read it from the Good News and the English Standard Version. He will fulfill what he has planned for me. You can say it to yourself. He will fulfill what he has planned for me. That is just one of the many plans he has for me. The ESV version says, for he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. So God definitely has a great plan for our lives. And what I'd like to say to us here, please listen to this. We started talking about this on Friday for those that were here. But even if you were not here, that's okay. The point I would like to make to you this morning that I want you to hold on to and remember very well before I round up. I'll round up in about 10 minutes now. Here's the point. Many of us have heard, received, and accepted the word of faith, but unfortunately, right now, we have started to waver. We have started to falter. We are beginning to doubt those things that we have strongly believed in before. We are beginning to question and say, is this really true? Can this really be true? In Exodus chapter 14, God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the children of Israel. He said, fear not, stand still. On Friday, we were talking about standing fast. He said, stand still, stand fast. And as you stand fast, you are going to see the salvation of the Lord. I want to encourage you today that it is not time for you to let up. It is not time for you to compromise. It is not time for you to seek for shortcut. It is time for you to stand fast on what you have believed. It is time for you to hold on to those things that you have believed and do not let them go. The Bible says, guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. It says we must guard our salvation very jealously. Why? Because the enemy is lurking in the dark waiting to trip us. You will not be tripped. You will not be tricked. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Many people in scripture, I really don't have time to go through this now, but when you look at the life of Abraham, I just run through it very quickly. Abraham, God made a promise to him. But before there was a fulfillment of that promise, what did God do? God took him out of his land. He said, go to a land that I will show you, Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Go to a land that I will show you. He did not even know the destination, but he followed God anyhow. And it took him 25 years to get the promised child. 25 years. What was God doing during the 25 years? Isaac, the same thing with Isaac. The Bible tells us that after Sarah died, they married a wife for him to comfort him. And then he was comforted, but the wife was barren. It took 20 years before the wife could conceive. Why did God wait 20 years? Why? That's the question we must ask. Why? Jacob... The Bible says, because Jacob, the supplanter, you know his story. So I won't tell you his story again. You know the story of Jacob. Jacob had to escape to Laban. Read the scriptures very well. When Jacob was finally leaving and Laban came to meet them that they stole his gold, he said, I have served you 20 years. Even though God had promised him that it will be greatly increased, that he'll be greater than his grandfather, his dad, and everybody, 20 years, he was just entering into the promise. Amen? Before the foundations of the earth, God had appointed that Moses, would be a deliverer. He started the process of delivering, but he was banished in the wilderness for 40 years. Why did he have to wait 40 years before he could enter into that purpose that God has for his life? Please, if you are the type that I write, even if you don't write, I encourage you to write this one. And the list can go on and on. Joseph saw a glimpse of glory. God showed him two dreams. As soon as he was about to enter, 13 years, he was in slavery and in prison before he entered into his promise. Why? Why? Here's the word for today. Before you can enter into your great place, before you can enter into your destiny, your purpose, before you enter into all of that, you must first of all die to self. You must what? Die to self. In a lot of people, self is alive and well. And that is why they are not experiencing the manifestation of the goodness of God. The power of God is real. God had to take Moses. He took him out. He took him out and took him to a place that in the process, he kept dealing with him and dealing with him and dealing with him until he was finally, he was ready. Let me ask you this. Do you think if God had given him his son in his home country, the promised son. Do you think he would have willingly sacrificed Isaac like he did on Mount Moriah? Never. Why? Because self was still alive and well in him. When self is still a big part of your life, entering into the promises of God becomes a problem. Self-indulgence, self-gratification. Listen to this. God will never give you anything that will destroy you. God will never do that. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. It says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." Who is a fool? A fool has said in his heart there is no God. In any area of your life where you deny God, that individual is a fool. If God says don't do it, and that's exactly what you're doing, it means you are saying in that area, God does not exist, and that makes that individual a fool. The Lord will grant us wisdom. John chapter 12, I'm going to read this. And I'm just going to sum it up very quickly. John chapter 12, verse 24 to 26. John 12, 24 to 26. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and what?
Die.
It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Let me give you a correlation that might make better sense to you. When Jesus was alive in his earthly ministry, he healed several people. He saved several people. He delivered several people, but not as many as he has done in his death now. Praise the Lord. Think about all the souls in the various places of worship in San Antonio this morning. I think the population in San Antonio alone is more than any impact Jesus made during his earthly ministry. But when he sold his life, when he died on that cross, he gave his life, he died. That seed died, and because the seed died is the reason it's bearing so much fruit today. Until I die to self, prosperity, miracle, and all of those things will be a mirage.
My God.
It will be a mirage. Verse 25, John chapter 12, verse 25. "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Friends, we must die to self. We must die to self. The reason many people are not fulfilled and accomplished in their walk with Christ today, simple, self. The Lord was sharing with me some time ago because I was concerned about certain things, and the Lord was showing me that in the body of Christ today, there are many that are believers, but they are carnal believers. Because the flesh is still a big part of everything they do. If how you feel or the gratification you get is all that defines and determines what you do, you will not go far with God. It means you'll be going straight today and then you'll be making a bend around the corner tomorrow. Why? Because water follows the path of least resistance. And that's why rivers are crooked. Any human being that is avoiding challenges will be crooked like the river. Friends, what must I do? I tell you, dying to self is a daily thing for you and I as believers. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, what I'm saying is, what I'm not saying this, I'm not saying go die. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying go kill yourself. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Apostle Paul says, it says, I, Adekoye Sonny, I have been crucified with Christ. Say, yet I am alive, but the life I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave his life for me in exchange of me actually doing the death. He died on my behalf. So what does that mean to us? What that means to us is, I remember a song we used to sing when I was in kindergarten. I don't know if they still sing it now. I'm a young boy, so maybe they still sing it now. Are you laughing with me or laughing at me, Otis? J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others twin. Yeah, J-O-Y. J-O. It's either you are all too young or too old. Because nobody knows that song. I know Alexis remembers it from me singing it before. Nobody is singing with me. That's interesting. I'm not that old, trust me. Huh? You know it. Aha. Oh, you know it. You are just not singing. Okay. Okay, but don't be disobedient. If you know it, you join me. You encourage me. He said, J-O-Y, this is what it means, Melanie. Jesus first. That's for the J. Yourself last. J-O-Y. He said, in between, you put others. When you die to self, the first thing that becomes apparent about your life is your life becomes selfless. Selflessness is the opposite of selfishness. Too many people today are selfish. Fish, self-conceited. If it doesn't benefit them, they are not interested in it. The number one thing you must do to die to self is to put Jesus first in all things. In everything I do, there is no struggle. Jesus is the King. You saw the video clip that Dr. Selena showed us earlier on. My King, He is everything. All-sufficient. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the savior. He's the all-in-all. Why will I not put him first? It is ludicrous not to put him first. When you put Jesus first, it is the beginning of dying daily. Why? Because yourself is not so important anymore. Listen to Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I, Apostle Paul, I, Adekoye, I die daily. Any believer that will make it in the sweet by and by, you must die daily. You see, the culture today, listen to me. I'll just close with this. Listen to this. The culture today is totally contrary to what I'm preaching to you. In fact, for the most part, in Christendom today, in the church, the messages are contrary to what I'm preaching to you today. Because what I'm saying to you is to die to self, to put Jesus first, put others ahead of yourself, and yourself last. Even the prayers we pray. Listen to the prayers we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, more prosperity, more. Everything is pointed towards us. Everything is for me. I get all I can. I can all I get. And I sit on the can. That's the message today. That's the message today, but that's not the gospel. God will bless you, but he will bless you. The Bible says, let every man walk that he may have to give. Do you see that? He didn't say, let every man walk so he may amass unto himself. He said, let him that steal no more. He that does not walk must not eat. He said, but let him walk that he may have to give. So the reason you are walking is so that you may share the love of Jesus. The reason I am working to have an increase is so that people may benefit from my life. Let me tell you a quick story and I'll close with this. On Monday, when we started our free lunch program on Monday. And after the day's work, we sat in my office, we were reviewing what we have done for the day. You know, what did we do well? How can we improve? The turnout was not very great. We were not happy about that. But all together this past week, we served about 87 meals to people, children, and the homeless people. But we want to do more. We have access to do more. So we were brainstorming in the office. What can we do? How can we get the people that need the resources, get them to come here? Because that's what they have required of us to do. So as we were talking, a friend of mine walks in and he began to give us ideas. And then after him, Pastor Gloria walks in. Well, Pastor Gloria has a contact for something that he doesn't really need because he's blessed by the grace of God. But that thing we really need, but we didn't have the contact. So he asked me. I told him what we're talking. I said, we're talking about our food bank, pantry, and things. He said, okay, Pastor, do you want chicken? I said, yes, I want chicken. He said, how much chicken do you want? If you know me, you already know the answer. I said, as much chicken as you can give. He said, well, you want 1,000 pounds of chicken? I said, bring it on. And right there and then, he picks the phone and he calls the contact. Say, I can imagine the question they were asking him. But his response was, yes, I want everything, the 1,000 pounds, I want everything. And guess what? On Thursday, we picked up 1,000 pounds of chicken. A selfish person will be calculating in their mind what they can do with 1,000 pounds of chicken. Listen to me, listen. Even believers, even pastors, listen to this. So, I know him, he hates the fact that I'm mentioning his name right now. You know, but some other persons that has that kind of contact will do it for publicity. So they can know I'm the one that is hooking everybody up with 1,000 pounds of chicken. So they know. Say, you didn't even mention my name. Can you believe that? How many times do you get 1,000 pounds of chicken for free? But when you have become selfless and you have ceased to live for yourself, when opportunities arise that you knew about but you necessarily don't need, you will show somebody else that has a need for that opportunity so they can be blessed by it. A lot of people are selfish almost to the point of wickedness. You have access. You don't need it. And those that need it, you won't give it to them. Say, oh, no, I know Africans. You know, once they get there now, they're going to cause trouble for everybody. I don't want anybody. The individual speaking is also an African. Friends, put Jesus first. Put others ahead of you. The Bible says, Luke 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, this is Jesus speaking, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I read one more scripture and we'll rise up and pray. About putting others before yourself. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Is somebody hearing me? Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love. Listen to this. This is the kicker right here. In honor, are you with me? In honor, preferring one another. Please rise to your feet. Except a corn of wheat dies, it abides alone. Friends, you and I must die to self. We must put Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we must put him ahead of everything else. I want you to pray to the Lord this morning, or this afternoon rather, and say, Lord Jesus, deliver me from myself in the name of Jesus, that I may deny self and put you first, that I may honor other above and ahead of myself according to your word in the name of Jesus. Just talk to the Lord for a minute or so. The seed of God in you has great potentials. He has great powers. But the seed is alive. That's why it's not producing. The seed must die. When it dies is when it becomes fruitful. Except a corn of wheat dies, it abides alone. It abides alone. It abides alone. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, I give you glory. Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I commit your church into your hands, O God. Father, I pray, O Lord, that every seed of selfishness, every self-conceitedness, Lord, you will remove from our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, teach us to honor you above all else. Teach us to prefer others ahead of ourselves. Teach us, O God, to die unto the world daily, that our lives may be alive to please you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' precious name I have prayed. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.